Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
George from Poole. George will shoot. No good. Rebound. Anderson. 22 seconds. All the Warriors have to do is get it across the timeline. They do it via Steph Curry. Almost fumbled it out of bounds. Recovers. And Golden State with a workmanlike 125-112 win as the seconds wind down. The two coaches, the two head coaches meet at center court. And the Warriors will face the Wizards one more time out in the Bay. But
oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Tim Roy on the call. But start right there in that final possession. That Keyshawn George attempted a three and Steph Curry almost fumbled the ball out of bounds. There's big-time ramifications there. The Warriors were 11-point favorites. 11-point favorites. Which means if George hits that three, the Warriors are no longer covering. However, up 125-112, you're covering by 2 points, and Steph Curry almost fumbles the ball out of bounds. Now, how many gamblers are sweating that through? That was the game within the game for the gamblers out there. But anyway, Warriors improved to 6-1 there. 2-0 in this 5-game road trip. 4-0 overall away from home. And the competition steps up on Wednesday against the Boston Celtics. As we say good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? Everybody in traffic, all the cops, firefighters, teachers, students, you know the drill. Everybody getting ready for the playoffs in high school football. That's coming up in a couple weeks. Good morning to all the Dub Nation. Niner fans, Christian McCaffrey's back. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program as we shout out our friends at Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call into the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Floyd Water Plumbing and Drain. Shasky, good morning. And I guess Tim Roy put it well. That was just a workmanlike victory. Was it pretty? Was a bit clunky at times. Shooting was on both sides of the floor, but a win is a win, and you move on to take on the Boston Celtics.
Bonte, are you familiar with the debut album of Three Times Crazy?
Stacking chips?
That's what that was. That was a stacking chips kind of a game. All right? You just got to beat the opponent and move on, because you're facing three teams in a row here that are 22-1 combined. Yep. Right? So you're looking at two of the undefeated teams in the league, and then you're looking at Boston that only has one loss, and oh yeah, they're the defending champion. Yep. So are the real tests coming? Of course they're coming. But to get Steph Curry back and to integrate him and to continue to just play good connected basketball, it's not going to be perfect every single night. But like, stack chips, right?
Stack chips.
Get victories, stack chips. And dare I say, we're halfway there. We're halfway to the point of what I would say that I'm allowing myself to believe.
In what?
That the Warriors can make a deep run.
Calm down.
We're saying out loud.
Calm down. That we both believe this team can make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Calm down.
We're five games over 500 currently, and if we can get to 10, I'll start believing.
Let's relax just a little bit. I love the way they're playing. I do. But it's not lost on me that they beat the Wizards. They beat the Jazz. They beat the Blazers. They beat the Pelicans, who lost to the Blazers last night. But I will say four matters.
Pelicans, just one second. Are they just awful?
Dude, they may be trying to get Willie Green fired or something. I have no idea.
They have talent.
They lost to the Blazers last night. Zion didn't play. They got lost by 18 points last night. Zion didn't play.
Chauncey's cooking something up there in Portland.
I mean, CJ McCollum didn't play. Trey Murphy's out.
McCollum's done.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Blazers, man, don't break them up. They're 3-5 right now. They beat the Pelicans twice this year.
Don't break them up.
Don't break them up.
A sentence that might not be uttered all year.
Don't break them up, maybe, or break up the Blazers. You may want to do something.
Chauncey's found something.
No, but they're playing hard for Chauncey. The NBA season, there's only like a handful. Like even when the Warriors were at their height, right? We all would agree. Like we could look at the schedule and it'd be like I'm going 2018 Warriors.
Lakers lost to the Pistons.
There's like 7 games in like a 60 game stretch that like would matter. You know what I mean? For the most part, there are a lot of bad teams in the league. And I know that some of the good ones do reside in the West. I would say the majority of the good ones, just because it feels a little jumbled, right? The best team, I believe, is Boston, but neither here nor there. Point being is that you're going to have these games against the good teams, but to me, they're playing a good brand of basketball. And you said it in the green room, and I'm just going to bring it up now, not to steal your thunder. But if Draymond Green is going to hit corner threes and hit a couple of layups and throw those alleys to Kuminga, because you have to honor the jump shot of Draymond, which is something I didn't think we would have happen at this age, it does change the dynamic in the half court for this team. You can play combinations of other players like GP2 with Trayce Jackson-Davis and get away with it.
Well, Steph, he said it on our postgame show. We had Steph on. We were lucky to get Steph on. And, you know, he feels good with the left ankle as he made his return after a 3-game absence. But I asked him. I threw the little useless stats in there. He kind of chuckled. And I was just like, you know, what does it mean? Can you discuss Draymond being aggressive off it? He goes, look, man, I don't care if he goes 0-20. If he's aggressive offensively, it gives them another dimension. And you look at the 18 points is great from Draymond, but the 5-7 and 3-4 from the 3-point line, he's grabbing rebounds, he's dropping dives, 5 dives, 8 rebounds. He is playing very, and I do believe that this is sustainable for Draymond Green as he ages into the league. Look, there's no doubt he's a smart basketball player. His IQ's off the charts. Defensively, we know what he does. He's an all-world defender. There's no doubt. One of the best defensive players we've ever seen in this league. But if he's aggressive offensively, and he works on that shot, and he stays aggressive with that shot, his career can age gracefully. It really can. When you're getting double digits from number 23, that's a whole new dimension now. Now Wiggins can have an off-night shooting. All of a sudden, Kuminga, you can shift him to the bench, and he's giving you instant productivity. Buddy Hield, if he's allowed an off-night, you can survive that because Draymond Green is adding something offensively. Right now, he's playing some very, very good basketball, and I love where his game is at. And the fact is that Steph, no setbacks, 24 points in 24 minutes. He got cooking in the third quarter with 15 points. The two leaders in his team, the two pillars that are left on the court alongside Kevon Looney, this is a great development that we're seeing from Draymond Green offensively. This is an awesome, and it's something that, you know, we go back and forth with this, and I said, man, Draymond just needs to let it fly. Let it fly. I've been thinking about this for 3 years, just let it fly. And now he's as confident as ever in shooting that shot. I can't wait to talk to him like, man, how much did you work on that in the offseason? Because it looks good right now. He's playing it. And by the way, he did shoot 39.5% from three last year. So I do think he has it in there to shoot 35 to 40% from three.
The shot just doesn't look as flat as it has in years past. Look, this is going to go down the rabbit hole here. I always thought that Draymond, when he hurt his shoulder, I don't know if it was 18 or 17, he never got the proper shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. And I believe he played in the Olympics or FIBA or something that summer. Mm-hmm. He wanted to play, which I'm not knocking him for that. Like, he wanted to play. And he never got that shoulder right. Remember when he hurt it?
Yeah, I do
remember.
And
I felt like his shooting form kind of changed a little.
Was that
18?
Was that with KD or without KD?
I think
that
it was with KD.
Maybe in 18. Maybe in 18. I got to look that up. I remember the shoulder injury, though. You're right about that.
And this is just Joe's wild conspiracy theories. But, like, if you've ever hurt your shoulder, it compromises being able to lift, right? And, there's two things. Number one, you need rest, and sometimes it can scar over, whatever. I know the real doctors are going to call in and tell me I'm a moron, but like when I didn't have healthcare, I remember I separated my shoulder, and it took a long time for my shoulder to be right, like a long, long, long time. And I think about Draymond Green, like, okay, physically it changes how you shoot, and then it takes time, and then now there's the psychological part of it, because shooting is psychological, I believe, to a degree, especially for the guys like Draymond, not the Steph Currys and whatnot. Those guys are just amazing, and they they have so much confidence. But confidence is a big part of it. Yep. And I think it was like a twofold. I think he was reluctant to shoot because of the shoulder. His shot got changed. And then I think he lost confidence in it. And when you play alongside a lot of great passers, I mean, a lot of great shooters, you're more liable to pass the ball and you take a backseat. Well, now they need him. And I think him hitting some buckets has enabled the team to be able to play defensive personnel alongside of him and kind of get away with it. Because I'm looking at their defensive rating right now. Clearly, Oklahoma City, number one in the league in defensive rating. Number two, it's the Golden State Warriors. No, it's a tenth of the way through the season. You played bad teams. But we know when the Warriors are the Warriors, they're bombing threes. They're playing great defense. So this is a huge development.
He had Ron Adams back in 2016-17. It's KD's first year. I remember they're in Salt Lake City. And Ron had joined. This is my first year here at 95.7 The Game. And Ron Adams, he had noticed that Draymond's, and this is, I think, before the shoulder, but he had kind of subtly said, because remember the whole backpack hoodies were coming out by Warriors World. They had the backpack hoodies. Oh, he shoots with a backpack on. Well, Ron Adams had told him, he had gave him a subtle adjustment to say, hey, just keep your back. He like move your back a little bit this way. It was a little subtle adjustment. Yeah. I wanted to ask Rod about it yesterday, but we only had 10 minutes about it. And from that point, Draymond's shot was really rolling. But then Kevin Durant, as he gets acclimated to the Bay Area, and Draymond, and I get it. There's KD, there's Clay in his prime, there's Steph in his prime. And it's like, oh, I don't really need to shoot. I've got KD, Clay, and Stephen Curry. So you don't work on it. And so that's what made 2019 a little disappointing when they opened up Chase Center. Whereas, it was drained a bunch of rooks, right? Jordan Poole and Pascal, and you're not winning many games. I thought that was the year. Draymond admitted that, hey, man, I kind of melted in that season. I wanted him that year to just work on his game, knowing that Steph is going to be back, Clay's going to be back. They ended up trading for Andrew Wiggins midway through the year and just work on the threes. Just shoot them. Forget the percentages. Just shoot them. Get your game right. Well, that didn't happen. But now, as we fast forward to 2024, and there's no Clay, there's no CP3, and you're acclimating Buddy Hield and Jonathan Kuminga and Brandon Podziemski, and you got this new crop of Warriors right now, his shot does look really, really good. He's being aggressive offensively. He's hitting big shots, too. It's not just first quarter threes. He's hitting big fourth quarter threes, which is a very, very welcome sight for Draymond Green. So we got to give him some love because he's playing very, very well. Let's go down to South Beach. We got some calls to South Beach? South Beach, Miami.
Monte, before you go to the call, they're like a top five offensive rated team, and they're a top five defensive rated team. Now, I know they're playing weaker opponents, but that's the recipe. If they want to go somewhere this year, that is the recipe. Let's do this. Let's
go to Mo in Miami. Hey, Mo, what's happening?
Hey, Bonte. Hey, guys. Hope you guys are having a great day, great morning. To pretty much tail off of talking about a Draymond Green, everyone talks about how the Warriors need a number two option. Curry doesn't have a number two beside him, but I feel like Draymond Green is just enough. I feel like Draymond Green is really all Curry needs for this team to be very successful, especially this season, I feel like, honestly.
You know, what else do you like about this team? Because, I mean, it's the bench, too. I mean, they scored 60 points, Mo. The bench so far in 6 of the 7 games has scored at least 50 points. The NBA record is 2018-2019 when the LA Clippers bench scored 53 points a game. This bench, Mo, alongside Buddy Hield and Jonathan Kuminga and Brandon Podziemski and company, they're averaging 61 points a game.
The craziest thing about it, Bonte, I'm not even surprised. October 4th, I was telling my friends, Buddy Hield will be the reason because he gives us another dynamic.
Wow.
He gives us, like, remember what Jordan Poole is giving us? He pretty much gives us the same type of dimension because of how well he could shoot. And the way he heats up so fast in a couple of minutes, those are flurries that the defense has to look up and look down, and the lead is already blown up because Buddy just came in the game. So that's what teams are going to have to deal with. And the teams that can respond, maybe like the Celtics, the Thunder, like pretty much the 3-game test that we're about to have right now.
Yeah.
This is going to give us some real data and really tells us what this team is about. And if we run away with confidence from this 3-game span, We're going to go somewhere.
Yeah, these three games are very important.
Oh, they're huge.
I mean, to Buddy Hield, he talked about the flurries. First quarter games is kind of blah, blah, blah. And this, you know, it's 29-20 because Buddy explodes for a quick 8 points. And he's just he's going to the rim. What? Again, I'm at the NBC Sports studio, and all the Kings fans were there because the Kings were playing Miami, so they're all in studio, and Draper was talking his talk, and, you know, Bibby was talking his talk, and Mo was down there.
After driving 2 hours down from Sacramento.
And so, hey, they get to come to the big city. But they're all saying, Bonte, don't fall for the okey-doke. Buddy will turn back into Buddy. You just wait. And I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's happening. This isn't Sacramento.
But, like, isn't this the same market where, you know, we find out, like, for example, like, Josh Donaldson can switch positions and become, am I wrong? Like, and become a really good player? Or Steve Young kind of flamed out in one spot and came here and was good. And Andrew Wiggins kind of, you know, hit a plateau in one spot. Yeah. And Jim Plunkett, like, aren't there enough stories in the league? And I'm not even saying that he's some all-star. What?
Reclamation projects.
Yeah, I'm not even saying he's an all-star. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But like, we see it all the time. And Bonte, you and I were literally just talking about Baker Mayfield. Yeah. And I said to you, I go, you know, B, I think I was a little too hard on Baker Mayfield. But to be fair, Baker's matured a lot. And I look up and I think the player that I see right now, I'm like, he's a really good player.
Well, not
I don't
only
think
that,
he's a top five player in the league at the position. But I'll tell you this, I go to war with Baker Mayfield. That guy was doing it with nobody. And if you asked me 2 years ago when he was in Carolina or he's throwing that pass for the Rams, I'm like, give me a break.
Well, not only that, though, but it's fit. And it's culture, and it's fit, and it's culture. The fit, the situation in sports may be just as important as your talent. If you go to the right spot, you can really, really thrive. I mean, seriously, right place, like Derek Goff out there in Detroit, right place, right situation, right spot. And now look at his, how we felt about Jared Goff when he got traded from the Rams to how we feel about Jared Goff right now.
I completely agree.
Kyler Murray's still in Arizona. But the culture shifted. And now you got a good fit with the good coach in Gannon and a good culture with the GM. Buddy Hield's fit. Again, I don't know what happened in Indiana. They were playing at the fastest pace. They played no defense whatsoever. But they traded Buddy. He goes to Philadelphia. You're telling me Philadelphia? I'm watching them last night against Phoenix, and they blow that game late. But I'm thinking they couldn't use a shooter.
Philly.
They had Buddy Hield right in their head. And Nick Nurse is, I think, a solid coach. Not the greatest coach in the world, but no, I think he's solid.
He is solid.
So I just wondered, how the hell is it going to fit here if it didn't work in all these other places? Well, read and react. And Steve Kerr, Rod Adams said something yesterday. Steve Kerr empowers his shooters. They feel as free as anything out there on the floor. And that's why it makes sense on why Buddy's coming in and letting it fly. Letting it fly because he feels free and he feels at ease in this culture, in this fit. So fit matters just as much as anything in pro sports, man.
Do you also think that, like, not a level of acceptance, because that seems like, oh, you're admitting you're not as good as you were. No, but, like, more like feeling empowered by the role that you have and not trying to shoot for the stars and just kind of playing within yourself. Because I'm watching Buddy play defense and I'm watching Buddy like actually be active on loose balls, which, again, my interpretation of him via the various stops that he's had is he's not going to get on the floor for a loose ball.
Right.
He's not going to like box anyone out and try to deflect passes.
It's changed.
Yeah. Like it's I call them campers, you know, guys that camp on the three-point line and just go three-point line to three-point line and wait till they touch the ball. I could not be more wrong.
No, I think we're all wrong about it, but it's great to see here with Buddy Hield. It's great to see JK take another growth moment. He's crashing the glass, too. Everybody wants him to rebound. Remember, we discussed this before the road trip. Let's see how he rebounds. Let's see his positioning. Well, that's back-to-back solid nights on the glass for Jonathan Kuminga. Last night, he grabbed 6 rebounds. I believe it was 7 Saturday night in Houston. So we'll pick it up on the other side. We got a break. 888-957-9570. Lucky. We'll get to you on the other side. I want to hear from you, Lucky. 888-957-9570 is the number, Dub Nation. We'll get to the Niners at some point today. But the Warriors are 6-1 heading to a big-time showdown against the Boston Celtics. This 3-game stretch, this 3-game gauntlet, going to be fascinating to see. Where are the Warriors at right now? How good do you feel about them? That's coming up here, brought to you by LifeSource Water Systems.
Dub Nation, it's Ron Adams. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Rod Adams joined the roast yesterday. Gave us a lot of good insight, man. We always get smarter when we talk to Rod. Warriors 6-1, 4-0 on the road. Dating back to last season, they've won 21 of 25 on the road here. They're playing some good team basketball. They get 29 assists yesterday. They're limiting the turnovers quietly. They're holding on to the ball. Just 7 turnovers yesterday. 7 turnovers. That's a good thing, man. You get shots up. And at one point, at halftime, the Wizards started chucking in the second half, trying to get back in the game. But in the first half, the Warriors were plus 11 when it came to field goal attempts, and they were plus 11 on the glass. So offensive rebounds in the first half alone were 11-1 Warriors. So they're doing a great job on the offensive glass. They're top 5 there. They're top 10 in rebounding. They're top 3 in deflections in the half court. They're top 3 in steals per game. Hell, they went in last night, number 1 in steals. So they're doing all the little things here. But there's no doubt. There's no doubt. We are anticipating these next 3 games. We all want these next 3 games, Shasky, to just see how good this is. And if, oh Lord knows, they go 3-1, or excuse me, 3-0 or 2-1, holy smokes, we're going to come back in here Monday flying.
Oh, no doubt. Steph Curry was back and obviously hits that 3 to like start the game. But that pocket pass he had to TJD coming downhill, it's like, man, look at the space TJD has in the lane as like 3 different guys are turning towards Steph Curry as he's coming up with the ball. And there was other ones. I think he had a nice pass to GP2 for a nice little dime later on.
Yep.
But there are just moments in the game where even the least sophisticated basketball eye can see that like 4 or 5 guys have their eyes on Curry and guys are just able to cut back door with no one in the lane. And it's, you forget. I mean, it's not that you don't know, but like you forget and then you immediately are reminded like, oh my God, like not only is Steph one of the greatest shooters of all time, but the way he's defended makes the game so much easier for all your bigs.
TJD shooting 73% from the floor to start the season. They actually, percentage-wise, it dipped because he was shooting 80% entering last night's game. He was 6 of 11 last night, but his hands are really good. He's an underrated passer, 12.6 rebounds, and then Looney off the bench with 10 rebounds, including another 5 offensively. And Looney's offseason, you have to credit him. Last year was a lost season for Looney. Came in, probably wasn't in the best shape. Well, he took his offseason very seriously. He shed about 35 to 40 pounds, and he looks great. And this is the perfect role for him. Anchoring that bench unit, solidifying the 5 spot. You can move him and TJD around. Looney and TJD, that combination. That's a combined 16 rebounds and 16 points from the 5 spot yesterday.
He clearly looks physically quicker, like and leaner. But he hasn't lost that strength because he's still been able to box out. I mean, Valanciunas is a monster. That guy's a monster, and I thought that him and TJD did a really good job, and Draymond and Kyle Anderson. And Kyle Anderson I love, too. But there were multiple times over the last 4 or 5 games where I've seen Kevon Looney at the top of the key, where in times past he'd just take a couple of dribbles and hand it to a wing guy on, like, a little ball screen.
A little dribble handoff.
Yeah, but instead he, like, fakes it and then starts going into the lane as a ball handler, and I'm like, oh, this is the spry Looney that we all saw, you know, like 10 years ago coming out. And it does feel like he's made a point of emphasis to be more aggressive when he has a one-on-one with a guy he thinks he can go by. And
yeah, no doubt.
I thought maybe last year was like, oh, is this the beginning to end of Looney? And, you know, credit to him to come back and look completely different.
No, yeah, he changed his whole body. He changed his entire body around him. He looks like he's in phenomenal shape. Let's go to Lucky in the City. Lucky, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
Man, top of the morning to you guys. How you doing this morning?
Doing pretty great. Good, Lucky.
Shasky, I just want to give you some love, man. That little drop you just did, man, that was pretty smooth, man.
Which one?
You know, the one, the musical one. As far as
Stacking Chips.
Stacking Chips. That's old school, for real, man. I have one for you too, Gangstar, man.
Let's go. I like it. Let's go.
Yeah. I had Gangstar. No more, Mr. Nice Guy. That's what I'm feeling with these Warriors and these Niners coming up, man.
Love it.
It's gonna be a different season, man.
Yeah, I love it.
What makes you feel so good about the Dubs right now?
Well, I haven't been able to watch the game fully, Vontae, but what I've seen on clips and what I've been reading, man, it seems like the bench and the whole team is just like a well-connected puzzle. You got different pieces that you put in there, like, you know, Buddy Hill, which I have to apologize to the young man because I kind of ripped him on social media because I was like, how are we going to bring him in to replace Klay Thompson, an all-star. But look what he's been doing. He fits.
Yep.
You know, slow-mo. He fits. Melton, I was kind of, okay, good defensive. He fits. This is what I like, and we have the perfect coach. I'm tired of people bashing him. He's the best coach. Same way I feel about Kyle. He's one of the best coaches, and we have one of the best teams on football and basketball. Let's enjoy this ride, Bay Area. Let's enjoy what we're seeing right now, because we might not see it again once it's over. So let's enjoy it now.
You know, good call, Lucky. And I want to look at it like this, these free agent moves. You should try to replace not just players, but you try to build the best team possible. And with the way the Warriors were moving, they had to say, all right, we still have Jonathan Kuminga, and we still have Moses Moody. Still have GP too. Now, if we don't trade these guys, they need to get more playing time. And there's a lot of minutes here from Chris Paul to Klay Thompson, and even Dario Saric for that matter. We forget Dario Saric was on fire the first couple months, and he just fell off the cliff. He couldn't hit a three, and it coincided with Chris Paul getting hurt last year against the Detroit.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Pistons on a Friday night in early January. And Sarts was just never the same. So you bring in these assets to complete a team. Okay, do we need more shooting? Well, let's take a flyer on Buddy Hield to see if we can execute, what was it, a 5-6 team trade to even bring in Buddy Hield? And then you bring in Slow-Mo part of the package as well. And then you get D'Anthony Melton on a veteran. Now, he may not play this entire road trip with the back injury. Hell, I don't know when we're going to see D'Anthony Melton. But getting these assets here to buy into their defined roles. And that's the one thing last year we didn't have, defined roles. Everybody's role is now defined. Kuminga's role is starting to be defined. Moody's role is starting to be defined. Buddy Hill's role is defined. Looney and TJD, they know what they need to do. And that makes everything better. So this has been starting since training camp, man. The vibe is real. There's a good vibe. Now, let's see what it looks like the next three games. Man, I can't wait for this Boston game, man. I driving home from the studio last night, Shasky. I said, all right, now we get to see some big boys. Boston, Cleveland, OKC. Let me see how good these Warriors are right now.
Well, Oklahoma City clearly is the future and the present of the league, right? That's the way you view them. You view them however you view Detroit currently in the NFL. You probably feel the same way about Oklahoma City. Like, they've got talent amongst talent amongst talent. They even have more draft capital going forward than even the Detroit Lions. And then I look at Boston, and you know, Boston feels a lot like those early version of the Warriors, yep, where they just play a comprehensive, unbelievably connected, deep brand of basketball on both ends of the floor. And then they have high-end elite talent across the board. And I want to see defensively, you know, like, okay, is Wiggs going to go straight up with Jason Tatum? And is he going to guard Wiggs? Is he going to try to, you know, guard Draymond? Like, are they going to try to hide him? Because in the finals, they threw him on Biggs. You know, they did a lot of different stuff. And I'm sure Drew's going to try to go up on Steph.
Him or Derek White. You can interchange those guys.
So you think,
Derek White's a really good defender. And he's a bit longer, a lot bigger. So it'd be Drew. It'd be Derek White. Probably mostly Drew. But don't sleep on Derek White trying to defend Stephen Curry. And then if Jaylen Brown plays, he's missed the last two games with the left hip flexor strain. So it didn't matter last night. He beat the Hawks by 30. But Hawks, if he does play, Jaylen Brown, who's been defending Steph since he's a rookie. I mean, I remember his rookie year, Boston came in and beat the Warriors with Isaiah Thomas and Jaylen Brown and Avery Bradley. And Jaylen Brown, remember, he got into it with Steph as a rookie at the end of the third quarter at old Oracle Arena. So he's been guarding Steph for a long, long time. So the matchups will be great. We'll dive more into it tomorrow. But here's what Draymond Green had to say about the 6-1 start.
I think we're establishing who it is that we want to be. We want to be a great defensive team. We want to get out and push the tempo, and we want to keep our turnovers down. Historically, we've been a team that has turned the ball over a lot, and that has fallen the shoulders of me and Steph. And, you know, coaches challenged us to change from a team that turned the ball over a lot, and the decisions that, you know, we may make that kind of tested pushing the line a little bit, to not make those decisions, you know, and be solid. And, you know, that's the mindset that we're coming out with. And, you know, so as far as an assessment, I'm not really assessing. You know, our 6-1 doesn't mean anything, just like their 2-4 doesn't mean anything. You're just trying to get better each and every day. Winning a championship or competing for a championship is a year-long process, and we're just trying to embrace that process and hopefully give ourselves a chance at the end.
There it is. Warriors averaging 14 turnovers a game, in the top 10 of the league for fewest turnovers per game, and just 7 last night. So not turning the ball over, points in the paint, rebounding, the deflections, the steals. They're doing all the little things with basketball games right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you go basically 29 assists, I had 6 of turnovers, but 7, I'll take your word on that.
Team turnover, total turnovers, 6 really. They got a team turnover, so counts, I guess, as a turnover.
No, that's fine. So let's say, like, if you're at like a 30-7 ratio, I mean, that's like 4-1. You're like Hall of Fame point guard level of protection when it comes to assist to turnover ratio. Now, that's probably not realistic, you know, all year, but like, we know 25 to 35 assists, right? A zillion passes, but limiting the careless live ball turnovers, that's where it's really crushed the Warriors. And I do believe that their athleticism and their ability to move without the ball, and then now to be able to kind of take guys off the dribble a little better this year, all these things are in part why they're playing better. It's not just connectivity. There's a lot of things.
They're faster. They're faster. Absolutely. And it just feels more athletic. So
got so many dunks at the lane.
So many dunks, but they're just moving faster. They feel more athletic. They're getting the 50-50 balls that they didn't get to last year, they're getting to this year. They're like number 3 in the league in terms of loose ball recoveries. It's really amazing how they have this stat.
I didn't know
the little hustles points. Yeah, so little hustle stats. So they're doing all that very, very well as they move on to Boston. And this would be a very, very big time game. Something we'll dive into at nauseam tomorrow. We'll continue to talk some Warriors. 888-957-9570. Then we'll shift to Niners as we have Brian Baldinger on at 7:30 to look around the NFL. Brian Baldinger, 7:30. Cam Inman, 8:30 on the River Islands guest line. And you know all guests appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? That's all coming up here on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
Up Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Monte.
0 for 2 today, Steve. 0 for 2. 0 for 2. We'll get better. We'll get better. As the segment is sponsored by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Next 3 games, how big are they? Well, let's hear from Draymond Green on what the Warriors need to do to improve over the next 3 games.
I think we just got to continue to get better at our execution. You know, our offensive execution takes some time. We got a fairly new group with a lot of new guys playing together. And so I think, you know, as, you know, this continue to go, we're doing a great job of playing well and winning games. And on the defensive end, offensive execution, I think we can continue to get better at, and we will. That usually takes the most time. But if I could pinpoint one thing, it'll be that.
Offensive execution. They're keeping the turnovers down. I think the shot selection is good, Shask. I guess one knock is they miss 18 free throws Saturday night. They missed another 9 yesterday. That's got to get better, 73.5%. Don't want to shoot that as a team from the charity stripe.
No, but it does feel like they're getting to the line this year just a little more than they have in years past. I think that was one of my big bugaboos. They'd go long stretches, you know, and they'd shoot like 5 free throws in a game. You know what I mean? It just, it did. I don't know if the numbers back that up, but that's just what my eyes used to tell me. The other thing is, I do believe at some point the bigs are going to get tested, because we're going to see a lot more potent bigs. There are some elite ones. Sabonis, Anthony Davis, Jokic. I guess we'll see Porzingis. So we'll get a look at him. Obviously, Chet Holmgren coming up.
Porzingis is hurt.
Is he hurt? Okay,
yeah, he's hurt. He's not going to be back till January. He's out for a long time.
He hadn't played lately.
Yeah, no, he hasn't played at all. He's out.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go. Scratch him. But you're going to get a look at some bigs. And, you know, those guys staying out of foul trouble and staying in front of some of these guys. I mean, those are some dynamic players I referenced. And so you're going to have a test. And then, obviously, there's a whole litany of elite wings that now that you've got Kuminga and GP2 and Andrew Wiggins, like, how are you going to match up against those guys? So I think there's some interesting tests over the next couple of weeks, but this three-game stretch is going to be amazing.
No, it will be. It will be fun for the fans. 888-957-9570. Boston 7-1. They blew out the Hawks yesterday by 30. Tatum at 26 in the first half. No Jaylen Brown. He's been out for the last two games with the left hip flexor strain. So Porzingis is out for the – he'll probably be back around – I don't want to say mid-December, maybe. That's what I'm hearing about Porzingis, but we'll check in. I think we're going to get Gary Washburn off from the Boston Globe tomorrow, so we'll check in on the Celtics and see what's going on there. Let's go to Vince in the city. Vince, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just wanted to call and check back in with you guys. I called a couple weeks ago. I said I think the team's going to be under the radar, and we're going to catch a lot of teams off guard, and I think that's happened so far. I want to say Draymond even mentioned it himself, that he kind of felt like the players that they picked up and the team that they have is similar to the feelings that they had back in 2015. I'm really excited about this team. I think their defense is also underrated because they're playing a lot better defense than they have recently, past seasons. But you guys have talked about it. There's only one gripe, really. You complained about not getting to the free throw line for like three seasons, and now you're getting there. Like, you missed 19 free throws on Saturday, or it was some crazy number.
18 free throws,
like, you
got to
be better at the line.
Yeah.
Got to be better at the line. But as far as offensive pressure, getting to the lane when there's that stagnant time where buckets aren't falling, I really like that. That's something that's going to be important because we really had that.
That's a good point, Vince. Got to hit your free throws. They were bottom five last year. They barely got to the line 20 times last year a game. I mean, so that is a welcome sight. That's where Kuminga comes into play. Steph's getting to the line. So that is one little bugaboo here as we move forward. You got to hit your free throws, especially when you get these opportunities as a good shooting team. But Draymond got to the free throw line 7 times yesterday, 5 of 7. Steph was 6 for 6. Kuminga was 1 of 4 yesterday, so he didn't have it rolling from the free throw line. Andrew Wiggins had an off night, 1 for 9, 0 for 6. He only played 18 minutes. I think the back is bothering him. I think the back is, he looked like he re-aggravated it Saturday night in Houston, late in the basketball game, but he did play in overtime, and the shot just wasn't rolling for him. He had some open looks early on, just clanking off the back rim. You need Andrew Wiggins for Boston on Wednesday.
How are you feeling about Jonathan Kuminga's floor game, just in general? Obviously, his attacking the rim, I mean, he's gone some sick offhand, wrong foot layups around the rim, but in terms of spacing, passing, not forcing it, how are you feeling about him currently?
I feel really good. I feel like he's playing the best basketball of his career, to be honest with you. He only took 2 threes yesterday. He was 0 for 2. He was going to the lane, trying to draw fouls, gets to the free throw line 4 times, as I just mentioned, 1 of 4. But I thought his floor game has been, he's getting better and better by the game. And he's building something with Buddy Hield in that second unit. That's a hell of a dynamic duo now that you got to worry about. You got to worry about Buddy shooting, so you can't leave him up on a three-point line. But if you leave the lane open, Jonathan Kuminga will come in and dunk on your head. So I feel really good about his floor game. What about you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm noticing a guy who's playing the appropriate pace, knowing when to hit the turbo button, knowing when to drive, when to kind of like make the extra pass. There was a simple play as he's coming down, and I think normally Kuminga would head down, you know, let me plow through two or three guys, and he like sees Steph floating to the corner and just kicks it out to the corner before he even flared out that way. And Steph had a wide open three. And it's like, those are the little subtleties of playing alongside Steph Curry that, like, I just, some guys pick it up right away and some guys it takes some time. Yeah. And I feel like Kuminga's kind of coming into his own in terms of that element.
No, he is. He is. Now, Brendan Pajewski, he was out yesterday. He left early in the third quarter. He was sick. I don't anticipate him missing the game in Boston. Just didn't feel right. They didn't need him yesterday as they held on to beat the Washington Wizards. But no, Kuminga's four games have been solid. I thought Moody had some moments yesterday in 14 minutes and 59 seconds. I'm sure when he hit a couple shots, I could feel Dub Nation. Ah, Moody needs to play more. Moody needs to play more. He was fine. He's got a nice role for him right now, so we'll see how this shakes out moving ahead to Boston. But I do want to shift gears and talk a little football because the trade deadline is at 1 p.m. today Pacific time, and we see some teams early willing and dealing. Za'Darius Smith goes from the Cleveland Browns to the Detroit Lions. Lions will pick up the remaining $600,000 on his contract. Cleveland's already paid him over $11 million this season. The Lions give the Browns a 2025 fifth-round pick and a 2026 sixth-round pick. The Browns send to Za'Darius Smith and a seventh-round pick to the Detroit Lions. What do you think about the move?
It's a great move. I mean, Za'Darius Smith was one of about four or five guys I had wrote down on a piece of paper a couple weeks back. And, you know, the fact that they got him, he knows the division, you know, very well, playing in Green Bay.
And Minnesota.
He is a guy who I think fits a lot of different schemes, and I think he's, you know, solid against the run and a really good player. And I think that they just need bodies right now, and that's a move for that team that I believe is win-win now. It's pretty low risk. I mean, if you were to take a six-round pick, most six-round picks in the league aren't going to give you the production over the next 8 or 9 weeks that you hope Smith will give you.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. The Cowboys also make a deal. They just made a trade. They're trading for a new wide receiver.
Who?
Panthers second rounder Jonathan Mingo. Jonathan Mingo goes from the Panthers to the Dallas Cowboys.
This year's second round pick?
So he was a former second round pick. Cowboys get Jonathan Mingo in a seventh round pick. Panthers get a fourth round pick.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. I play fantasy.
You don't remember Jonathan Mingo?
You got to Google it.
No, Jonathan Mingo,
Carolina's,
man.
Like, offensive weapons are not on my radar.
I think Jonathan Mingo, if I'm not mistaken, is an LSU guy. Let me double check that. Could be an LSU.
I'll
is he an LSU guy?
Ole Miss.
Jonathan Mingo. SEC. Second round pick, 39th overall, 6'2", 220. They drafted him in the second round. Yeah, he's done nothing with the Panthers. Maybe that's an indictment on the Panthers, but last year he played 15 games, 43 catches, 418 yards on 85 targets as a rookie. This year, just 12 catches on 26 targets, so he goes from Carolina to Dallas to play with Cooper Rush as Dak Prescott's on IR. He'll miss at least four games.
He's seeking second opinions. I don't know. Dallas' season feels like it's circling the drains. The biggest injury thing that I've noticed is CMC returning to practice, huh?
It makes you happy?
Well, I mean, he's like one of the best players the Niners have had in the last 20 years, so yeah.
Really? Just the last 20? Maybe the last 30?
Okay. Pick whatever amount of time you want to go with. Like, I mean, CMC... he had one of the greatest seasons in a Niner uniform.
I understand. No, I'm kidding. No, he was back in practice. We'll talk to Cam Emmitt at 8:30 about it. How's this going to work?
As in?
How's it going to just snaps, workload? Can he cut? Bilateral.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.